Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Okay, we're back talking to our certified financial planner here on the Triad Podcast Network. Her name is Jennifer Johnson. She works with Blue Rock Wealth Management. You can find them. Their office is on Trade Street in downtown Winston-Salem. And if you want to contact Jennifer directly, all of her information is listed in the show notes. So you can call her, you can email her, and you can talk about your situation. So last month, and you can go back into our archives and find this, we talked about all the things that you may not know about the latest relief package that included a stimulus payment for most people that are out there listening. And so today we want to talk about summer vacations and the financial part of that. So a lot of you, look, things are opening up and the weather's getting nice and signs are certainly pointing in the right direction in terms of us getting to a better spot in this pandemic. And so now we can maybe start traveling a little bit more, especially if you're vaccinated and you can maybe not have to take as many cautions and you're around other vaccinated people wherever you're going. But as you start thinking about that and getting back out there on the car or in airplanes, we want to go through some ways that you can start planning ahead for your summer vacations from a financial standpoint. And maybe the stimulus package will have something to do with that. But let's break it all down and let's go through it with Jennifer Johnson from Blue Rock Wealth Management. Jennifer, I want to start with this. Do you have a memorable summer vacation from when you were growing up? Could be good memories, could be funny memories that were seen bad at the time. But the one summer vacation that you recall, if you can only recall one from back during your childhood.
All right, that's a great question, Adam. I think the first thing that comes to mind is our family. When I was young, we would take car trips, especially out west. So we had two or three at least car trips that we went on to visit national parks like Yellowstone and the Grand Canyon. And I remember being in the car a lot. And for me, that's somewhat memorable. And some of it I can't remember. And the reason is I got terribly car sick as a kid. And so I would have to be on Dramamine for a good bit of those days in the car. And so a lot of those vacations were, you know, waking me up when we got to key points like crossing the Mississippi and things like that. So luckily when we got there, I was usually okay. And I don't get car sick anymore. But a lot of my, you know, vacations as a kid, that's what I remember. That we had a cooler, like a hard top, sort of smaller cooler that would sit between me and my sister in the back seat, and I would lay on that and sleep while we rode cross country.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. So not necessarily memories that you want to revisit. Certainly. Yeah. I mean, these are the things that you remember most of all, whether they're good or bad memories.
Right. And I think, luckily, as I said, I did grow out of it, you know, so now I can take a car trip, with my own family without having to be drugged. So that's the good news. And of course that does create a lot of nice family memories. I know I think about that a lot with our girls. And what we've learned, and especially during COVID, I think, is how much travel means to folks and the quality time they get to have together.
Yeah, exactly. We're planning for some family beach trips ourselves. We're going to try to take one next month with my fully vaccinated family. So we're looking forward to that. So, like I said at the top, what we want to do here is we want to, if it's been a long time since they took a big vacation, maybe they're a little rusty on certain parts of it. Like, how do you save for a family vacation? How do you budget for a family vacation? And maybe people have some of that stimulus money that they didn't need for other things that they can put toward something like this. So let's start with just some broad topics on what you think would be good to cover today on a high level, and we'll dig into each one about what you typically try to advise people on when it comes to, you know, big expenditures like this, like a big family trip.
Yeah. I think as we've said about other big goals, I mean, it's certainly not as big a goal as retirement or college education, which are definitely the top two goals that people come to me on, but it certainly does affect the overall financial situation because it can be a big expense, right? And we know right now a lot of people are planning these trips. Coming out of COVID, we know lots of people just from data and research and my own personal experience talking to clients that people are very anxious to travel. You know, that travel has obviously been impacted by the pandemic. It's been limited or maybe not even an option in some locations. And that's something people are really itching to do. Some data I read recently on TripAdvisor showed that about two-thirds of Americans, I guess I should say, are planning to travel this summer, which is a big increase even over the spring and certainly an increase over last year where people often opted for more staycations. So we know people are planning to travel, and most of that I think is going to be domestic for us, but not all of it. So, you know, some of those are going to be some pretty big trips, right? And I thought it was interesting. I saw some data too about the most popular destinations for people this summer, and I thought this would kind of be fun. Do you want to see if you can guess?
Okay.
Some of them. I'm looking at the top 10 here.
Yeah, like you said, just domestic, right?
Yeah. Well, this could be anywhere. Actually, I should say this is most. And if it helps you, though, most people, about 75% of us, are going to take a domestic trip.
Are we talking?
But
okay. Are we talking summer destinations or any season?
Summer.
Okay.
Yeah, this summer. Yeah, summer is definitely the hot time, right? Most people are going to travel June or July. Yeah. It looks like. And so, where do you think they're going to be going?
Okay, I'm going to say just because my wife and I went there for an anniversary trip, our 10-year anniversary, and we cannot wait to go back. I'm going to say Maine, like the Acadia National Forest. Is that on there?
Okay. That sounds beautiful. It's not one of them, but I want to go there. Yeah.
Well, that would definitely be probably in our top three. Okay.
Okay.
How many of the top 10 are beaches?
A lot. Let me say that. It looks like I'm going to count them here. I think you could say 9 out of the top 10 in beaches. The beachy.
Is one where I grew up, Siesta Key in Florida.
Ooh, let's see. A lot of them are in Florida. I've got two Florida destinations. You can tell me if this is close to where you grew up. Is Key West close to where you grew up?
No. Siesta Key is in Sarasota.
Sarasota. Okay. Yep. Well, I'll tell you Orlando is on there, which I know Orlando is not a beach.
So we're talking cities then, right? Cities are what's listed here.
Yeah.
Okay. Key West, Orlando, let's say Chicago.
Chicago's not one of them.
No. Okay. Well, you said most of them are beaches. So San Diego?
No, San Diego, think Caribbean.
Okay. What about places in Mexico? Do we have any places in Mexico?
Two places in Mexico.
Are they like Cancun or Cozumel or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you just hit on number one. Believe it or not, Cancun is the number one summer destination this summer.
Number one summer destination. Wow.
Number one. Yeah. Almost all these are beaches. You want to
try
one more?
Is Myrtle Beach on there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is number three.
Okay.
So we'll do top three. I know you may not want to hear all 10, but certainly, like we said, Cancun is number one. Orlando, Florida is number two. I would guess Orlando is covering Disney World. So I would guess that's going to be a hot one. And also, can be an expensive trip. It's fun. I enjoyed it. But, of course, it's expensive, too. And Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, is number three, which I was kind of surprised that Myrtle Beach.
That's pretty high.
We go to Myrtle Beach, too. But, because that was a survey. Again, that was done by TripAdvisor. And that was the third for the most popular destinations for Americans this summer. So, sounds like that's going to be pretty crowded. It definitely is it's a beachy list.
Yep.
Though, like, I would enjoy the main thing myself. But I guess more of us are looking to go to the beach. And part of it may be one other article I was reading from more of a travel agency. So they were fielding questions from people such as, what could we do for about $1,000 a person, which is very similar, to the stimulus checks that went out, right, which we talked about before. So it's pretty clear some folks, they have, if they've been in a pretty good situation, or they haven't had to use those stimulus checks for basic household expenses, they've been able to maybe work from home and continue their incomes. It's pretty clear that people are planning to use a lot of that for travel, and they're targeting places that they could travel and stay sort of within that, especially those that are getting vaccinated, to your point. They're feeling comfortable and wanting to do that.
All right, if you're enjoying this podcast, then I hope you'll take just a quick second to hear about the folks that make it all possible. And that's the Ginther Group, a Triad real estate team with a vast local knowledge. Don't believe me? Hear it for yourself by listening to their real estate show right here on the Triad Podcast Network. I'm not even in the market, and I don't know what I'd do without an ally like Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group. They've helped me find a plumber, a roofer, and even helped my family save hundreds each month when we refinanced our home. Now imagine how they can help if you are in the market. They can help you get started with an evaluation to list and market your home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling in the Triad, call the Ginther Group at 336-283-8689 or find them online at theginthergroup.com. Now back to the show.
Yeah, is that a good rule of thumb as we kind of jump into the actual money part of this?
Yeah.
Is that a good rule of thumb when you're planning for a family vacation, is if you're, let's say you're going somewhere for a week, whether it's the beach or wherever, should you plan on at least say, okay, it's about $1,000 per person that we might need to stay for?
Mm-hmm. Possibly. I think it's going to vary so much. And I think, a few things I would say is important. One of my tips is to plan ahead and do your research. So if you, if you know what you have to spend, I think it's a great idea to look and see, okay, what if you have set aside a certain dollar amount, what the right question is, where could we go for our group and fit within that? But I think it can vary. I think the key thing though is to have a budgeted amount for that trip. And ideally, as we've talked about in other podcasts, as important as it is to have quality time with your family, I mean, you don't want to prioritize a trip maybe over larger goals like being in a good position for retirement or college if you want to pay for college, or if that's a situation where you're trying to pay for college for kids or other important financial goals. So you don't want to sacrifice those big goals. So hopefully you're on a plan where you're putting money aside for those big things. I think one thing people forget to do as they're building their budgets is to build in something for travel, because it obviously doesn't happen every month for most people. It's a limited time. Maybe it's a week in the summer, but we need to put money aside. And now I know we're into early May, but we still do have some time in which you could do a little research, figure out what is that right amount per person. and then start to put that money aside, maybe in a dedicated savings or checking account that you put aside and know, okay, this is going to be the amount for our trip.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who's thinking, let me just put it all on a credit card and we'll pay it off over time. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone kind of thinking along those lines?
Yeah. You know, I've talked to people that are still paying for a trip 3 or 4 years later. Right. I mean, so I think it's going to be important to me to not go into debt to pay for that trip, because particularly credit cards, you know, the interest rates are so high. You'll end up paying so much more for that trip. I would rather them not do that. I mean, one idea I have for folks, one maybe tip, is to, once you know what that number is that you have to come up with, find some ways to maybe find some extra cash. You know, if you've got some things you can sell, you know, sell some things, you know, sell things on Facebook Marketplace or some other, you know, app. Maybe there's an expense that you can cut out of the budget that would help you. Mm-hmm. Is there some kind of little side job? You know, could you drive for Uber or something like that for 2 months? You know, I think those are ways, if you're thoughtful about it, that you could often find a way to come up with some extra cash and avoid going, you know, putting that trip on a credit card that's going to cost you hundreds, if not thousands, more than what it would if you can pay that off ahead of time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes the answer isn't always how to spend less, because maybe you don't have some easy options for cutting your expenses. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the answer is, well, how can I find some additional income? You know,
right.
How can I find some additional income that I can then apply to this income that I'm not necessarily factoring into our normal household budget?
Yeah. I think if you get a little creative, hopefully you can come up with that extra cash. You know, it takes some thought. The other thing I would say is be a little thoughtful on your travel. You know, I've mentioned research a couple times. Maybe if you can be flexible about when you go on your trip, an off-season trip might save some money. Or I guess the flip side of that is to wait for a last minute deal and, you know, hopefully you can get a very good discount to fill unused seats. I don't know how likely that'll be this year, but since we've already talked about how travel is one of the number one things people are anxious to do now. But I think that idea of being thoughtful about how can I do this? It's something you really want to do and have that experience without, and maybe shell out less.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So those are some good ideas in terms of how people can avoid, you know, taking on debt for family vacations, mm-hmm. because like you said, you know of people that are still paying that kind of stuff off, you know, 2-3 years down the road, and taking on debt. And then the other thing too, that's important to mention, is don't let this distract too much from your long-term goals, because those are much, much larger investments with a much, much larger payoff, ideally. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, don't sacrifice some of your bigger goals for things like this. Figure out ways to reach these shorter term goals of trips and vacations. I don't call them vacations because I have small children, and so I call them trips. Because right. they're not vacations. And anybody That's like right. yourself, Jennifer, you've been in this boat too. I don't know if you call them vacations yet or not, but anybody with small children knows that it's not a vacation if you're the parent.
That's right. You're just relocating the work, maybe, but it correct. Is fun though, right?
It is
still a
it
lot
is.
Of work, but it's fun.
It's fun because you get to see them have fun, and even if you don't get to experience much of the adult type of fun, you know that you would, you know, just to be able to go out and be on your own schedule and things like that, but to see them have fun. But anyway, that's. It's neither here nor there, but for us, they're definitely still classified as trips.
That makes sense.
So how much are you working with people or talking to people? How much is it coming up in conversation in terms of taking the stimulus money that people may have received And, you know, look, if they've got a family, if they've got two or three kids, good chance that they got a pretty good size amount of money from the government on this latest round of stimulus payments. Are a lot of people out there thinking about using that for their family vacation this summer?
I think they definitely are. They are. It comes up a lot in conversation. It's one thing for sure people say they really haven't been able to do. And a lot of folks, if their income hasn't been interrupted, you know, they've continued to earn income, but maybe not even spend it as they normally would because they haven't been eating out as much, maybe things like that, that they would normally spend money on. They haven't been buying clothes. We talked about how working from home has affected what people spend on clothes. So they may have more discretionary income than others. And travel is maybe the number one thing that I hear people say they want to do. And I think if they have banked those stimulus checks, then why not, right? I think though that looking forward, they'll want to use some of those tips that we've talked about in terms of if you know you're going to take a summer trip or a vacation maybe or so much travel per year, you know, let's think ahead on that. Let's not forget to include that in our budget. And the other thing I'll mention too is I think one thing that gets people and this is an area where I think people end up going into debt and because they don't plan for it is, you know, they'll plan ahead maybe for that plane trip or that hotel stay. But, you know, when you get there, you know, you've got the free time, as you mentioned, you know, Adam, you're not on the schedule anymore or you're on a different schedule maybe. And maybe you're doing more going shopping and you're going out to eat more. So they forget about those, what I might call extraneous spending while you're there. And that starts to go on the credit card, right? Because it's easy and you're hopefully in a good mood, you're on vacation. And that's something I think where people get back and they're really surprised. They're not aware of how much they've spent. So that's something I think people need to think ahead on and really set an amount that won't break the bank for that kind of spending too while you're on it, while you're on that vacation.
It's a good point because I've done it myself where I think to myself, all right, this is about how much it's going to cost us to take this trip. And then you go out to a meal or maybe you go and do something spun. Mm-hmm. Maybe you go to the beach and it rains one day. So you go and go to a bowling alley or you go to an aquarium like that. And then you go and grab food and now you're spending an additional couple hundred dollars on something that you weren't planning for. And so you see that large expense and you're like, ooh, I don't know if I should be paying for this out of our, you know, out of our checking account or whatever it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And say, let me just put it on the credit card. And that way it's $200. I can pay off $200 on a credit card. It's no big deal, but that's the slippery slope that you're talking about, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. That's right. And especially as you know, having multiple kids, you know, if you go, you're going to go entertain them and go ride go-karts or go to the arcade or, you know, anything like that, it's, you know, especially at Myrtle Beach, you know, one of the top three destinations, there's plenty to do there, plenty to eat. So before you know it, the trip itself hasn't been the problem in terms of the travel there and maybe the hotel, but it's all the extra stuff you do to keep everybody entertained while you're there. So I would say really keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're my family, you always have to plan on going to play putt-putt and getting ice cream every single night.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. Go to Broadway at the beach, right? And walk around.
Yep.
And,
you got to do all that stuff.
Feed the fish, which that's a cheap one, right? If you don't shop too much, you just wander around and feed the fish. So that's a good thought too.
Yeah. Well,
you can do.
My two boys who are a little bit older, then we have a small baby who's just going to tag along for everything. But
look,
if we take them to play putt-putt every night and get ice cream and go to the beach during the day or in the swimming pool, that's all they need. And they're happy. Like, they don't get to do any of the other stuff. They just want to play putt-putt all the time. So, now number one putt-putt destination in America, like Myrtle Beach might be at the top.
Myrtle Beach. So, I think you might be right on that, yeah. Which I enjoy some putt-putt too. I'm not anti-putt-putt. So
yeah.
you know what you're going to be doing, right? So you know how to plan for that. So that's good. That's really good.
Do you know if people are actually like budgeting while they're on their trips? Does that happen? Is that something that you've seen before? People actually, so they set, okay, here's what we think we need to save, and here's how much we are going to have on hand for this trip. Do people track that stuff as they're on their trips just to make sure they're staying on budget? I don't know if it's not something that we do, but I don't think it's a bad idea to be doing that, and I wonder if you've ever come across that before.
I'm sure some folks do. I think they might tell me they do, right? But I don't know if everybody's as honest as you, Adam, to say we really kind of lost track of that. I think that might be, you know, a good idea. In one of our very early podcasts, I think we talked about budgeting and kind of how people approach that. And credit cards, I think, can be a real slippery slope, somewhat debit cards too, but I think the credit cards are easier just to kind of whip out and use. But ideally, I think if you did that, especially, you know, you're at the beach or you're at some other place where you're making a lot of little purchases, you don't really realize it unless you're real conscious of it. So that would be a good opportunity. You know, we talked about the envelope method where people set aside a certain amount, and maybe it's for entertainment or maybe it's so much per day that you said, this is the amount we have to spend, and physically put that in an envelope or an envelope for Monday and Tuesday, or so much for putt-putt, or so much for eating out. And I think that would be a really good way if people find that's a problem for them, where before you know it, you know, you've got 2 to 3 kids and you're eating. I mean, even ice cream is shocking to me. I don't know about you, if you go to, which I love, like Sweet Frogs and some of those places, but my goodness, you know, you get 3 to 4 people, you know, getting some Froyo, and it's, you know, $30, you know, there for you to do that. And if you do that all the time, you just don't realize how much you've spent, and you really, you know, really haven't gotten to the meat of your activities. So that would be a good idea if people find, wow, this really keeps adding up, and we don't know how to control it, is maybe to lean a little bit more on cash and, you know, physically put that cash somewhere you see it, where you pull out a $20 bill to pay for that ice cream, and you can see in the envelope, here's another, we have one more $20 bill to kind of entertain us for today, or something of that nature.
Yeah. If folks aren't necessarily ones that typically carry cash, and is there, what would be the digital or electronic version of the envelope method, where it's separate from your main checking account that you're using just for expenses on while you're on a trip?
Yeah. I'm sure that you could probably use something like a mint.com or something that has an app, or you could track it on like You Need a Budget or something of that nature, where you could physically see it. I think you also could possibly do, you know, even through your normal bank, if you had segregated maybe a savings account or a separate checking account that, you know, you used for travel, you could, I'm sure, as you open that app and see the balances in the accounts, you could watch that money go down. So if you had, you know, maybe it's $2,000 in the travel fund and you've spent $1,000, you know, getting there and getting your hotel accommodations, that you could, you know, make sure you somehow use that particular account for your purchases and sort of watch it go down. I think that would be another way. It's just would take you, you know, being, you have to kind of think about that maybe a little bit more than if you just whip out the envelope. But I know cash, I mean, most people don't pay cash for every little purchase. Certainly I don't either, particularly if you're on vacation, you feel like you're having to carry a lot of cash, which is, could be a little bit intimidating. But I think it's just, the key is to find what works for you. There's nothing wrong with any of those methods. It's just, you know, what works for you to stay within the allowance that, you know, you or your family has for this trip, because, you know, I want people to be able to have those experiences. But part of my role, I think, as their advisor is to make sure they keep their eye on the prize. Right. And that's usually for people, it's not just one trip. I mean, you probably want to have multiple family trips, right? So you don't want to have a situation where next year you're still paying on last year's trip, so you have to do something else. But, you know, those bigger goals are what people tend to come to me for. But one thing I do find is that sometimes these situations, meaning vacations and things that come up and you're spending money on, prevent people from being in a good position for the larger goals. And I think that's the main story I would want to tell people here, is that we still want you to have good experiences with your family. That's really important. And money is just a tool to let you do that, but make sure you're ruling over that and you're not just being sort of moved with the wind and, you know, making decisions that would sabotage your long-term goals.
Yep. That totally makes sense. And then on the, I guess on the electronic envelope method, look, I mean, even if people want to travel, we're probably all still paranoid about germs, right? So, you could link Apple Pay to whatever account.
I bet you could. Mm-hmm.
And, and just go totally contactless, but still following the same concept and principle of the envelope method.
That's right.
I think that's a really smart approach, the envelope method for when you're on vacation, so that you're not tempted to use the credit card, or you're making sure that you kind of stick to the you're not going crazy on the expenses that you're going to end up paying for down the road somewhere. I like that approach.
The last thing I guess I would suggest people at least look into, or you know, we've talked about being creative in other ways of coming up with cash, and I've talked about doing the research, but you know, I would consider, maybe, I don't think these are uncommon anymore, but in the past, you know, when Airbnb was a new thing, or VRBO, you know, not everybody was open to that. I think they're more open to that now, but you know, maybe some of these less traditional, more of hotel accommodations that are more like a home or an apartment, you know, those could save some money on trips, right? And the other thing is, back to those extraneous expenses, I mean, you may find, even if you spent a little bit more on the accommodations, if you had a kitchen, you know, maybe you're eating at home as opposed to going out for every meal, which really makes a difference, right? So I think to be thoughtful about where you're staying, and to say, okay, maybe a condo does cost more than a hotel, but if that saves us $100 a day on eating out, maybe that makes more sense. So I guess it's back to that idea of being thoughtful about what you have to spend, one, and then also, you know, how can we stay within that, you know, once we're there, once we're at our destination.
It's a great point. You know, that's one of the first things that we'll do, especially if we're going to the beach, is we'll unpack everything, and then one of us will make a grocery store run, and we'll spend, we may spend like $200 or $300 at the grocery store, but it's so that we can eat all of our meals at the place where we're staying. And then maybe like one night we'll go out to dinner. But you know, the other part of that too is, you know, A, it saves us a lot of money for other things. Mm-hmm. And B, you know, when we've got small kids, like, they don't want to be sitting around at a restaurant. Like, that might be fun for us, but if you can just eat at home, and it gives them more time to play outside or be at the pool or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you come in, you eat dinner, and you go right back to having fun. You know, just going to a restaurant it's a lot.
So
we might do that one time, but you're right. You know, if you can save money by not going out to eat every night, you might have a big grocery bill when you first get there, but you know, in the long run, it's going to save you money, and maybe use that money to buy a bigger place, closer to the water, whatever the case may be, or splurge on some other stuff. That's a really good point.
Yeah. And you might enjoy it more, even like you said, without the stress of finding a restaurant all the time that everybody can agree on, and having to wait for it, and then the expense. So I think it's just a matter of being thoughtful about it, you know, understanding how your trips fit within your financial goals. You know, if you don't have the money put aside for it now, if you're not one of those people that banked your stimulus money for that. I think you do have still have time to prepare for this. You know, maybe it's setting aside so much per month, or finding some ways to create cash, selling something, and then just make sure you don't forget about those extra things that you're going to spend money on when you're there. If there are ways to limit that or ways to get a better deal, mm-hmm. you know, take advantage of it. Those are my big things I would share with folks.
Yep. Very good. All right, Jennifer, that's a lot of helpful tips as people start getting ready. You know, depending on when people are listening to this, we're going to be pretty close to Memorial Day weekend, and that's the start of summer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when people start taking trips, the school year won't be over quite yet, but we know that a lot of people will probably start to get back to traveling around Memorial Day weekend. So some good tips for people as they start planning for that. Once again, if people want to talk to you about their own situation, how can they find you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you can find a lot of information on our website, BlueRockWealthManagement.com. Folks are also welcome to email me. I'm very accessible by email. It's jjohnson@BlueRockWealthManagement.com. They also can call our office. As you mentioned, we're located in downtown Winston-Salem, and that number is 336-723-1220, and they're welcome to ask for me, Jennifer Johnson.
Okay. And again, the email address, jjohnson@bluerockwm.com. She is our certified financial planner here on the Triad Podcast Network. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you. It's been fun as always.
Advisory services offered through Blue Rock Wealth Management. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC. Branch 524 North Trade Street, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27101. Member FINRA, SIPC. Blue Rock Wealth Management and Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, are not affiliated. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @TriadPodcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.